Every who down in Who Newville liked the holidays a ton. But where to get great prices on gifts, they had no idea. None. They searched and they searched for great gifts under $25. Gifts for spouses and friends and even their toddlers. When suddenly one who shouted, "Walmart has what you want," knowing they have Lego, Tree Hut, and no prices to flaunt. So they enjoy the holiday season as who's often do. Cheering and shouting, "Walmart has incredible gifts." Who knew? Find gifts they'll love under $25 at Walmart.
This episode is presented by State Farm. Having insurance isn't the same as having State Farm. It's like needing the protection of an offensive guard on the football field, but getting an elementary school crossing guard. Sure, they're both guards, but you can only trust one to keep your quarterback safe when the game is on the line. So don't settle for just any insurance when there's State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
This is a LeBron appreciation segment. There are 82 individuals on NBA rosters who started living after LeBron started playing.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Earlier on the show,
NBC Sports Boston Patriots insider Tom Curran, host and creative director of MSNBC Live, Luke Russert.
Coming up,
four-time Emmy winner Vince Gilligan. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We say hello to those watching us live, streaming it on Disney Plus, the ESPN app everywhere. Hello to everybody listening on Sirius XM Channel 80 or ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We'll have a conversation. Just had a chat with Vince Gilligan in our green room. Vince, 11 plus years ago, last month was the first ever in-studio guest in the history of this show. In about 18 minutes time, he will be the latest. And you referred to him as the nicest guy in Hollywood.
Hands down, not just saying that.
What's more likely in advance of tomorrow's program, even though this is Higher Register Thursday, we're going to get to our Higher Registers shortly. And just seeing Vince, he's either A, the same exact guy, or B, everything's gone to his head. What do you think? What do you think? What a sweetheart. My goodness gracious.
Amazing. The best.
And so Pluribus, it's just amazing that from such a sweetheart of a guy, the most mind-blowing
crazy stuff.
Yeah. You know, makes you think about the human race and who we are as people and what our defaults are, if we're nice creatures or not. To come from this man's mind.
Mm-hmm. You're like,
unbelievable. And we will go down a little bit of a Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul wormhole with the man who created those shows as well as Pluribus right now on Apple TV. Every single Friday is a new episode. Episodes 1 through 3 are sitting right there for you to take in. And I'll be honest with you, it's wild, man. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about it with Vince shortly. Now then, it's time for RES Consulting to unite. Uh-oh. Well, the many things that we do, okay? We come up with nicknames, or at least I like to do that. We like to name things. We like to term things. We like to leave our guests in a better position. We're wide open. We can help in many different ways with anybody who comes to RES Consulting. Because, as you know, the best thing about us is that it's about us at RES.
Yeah, yeah. The best thing about us, though, is it's about us. Mm.
It is. It's the truth. So are you ready to unite? Because the thing that we do best, maybe out of everything, is we take a look at an injured player returning to practice and say, that guy's going to start.
Here we go.
And I have been told, is this moving pictures or just a photograph? Just a photo.
Photo. It's got to be a Burrow.
It is of Joe Burrow. That's Joe Burrow.
Well, he's there.
Number 9.
Foot looks good.
On the left.
Well, it wasn't his foot.
I know. I'm just saying.
It was his foot.
Okay. No.
And you say you're killing me.
All right.
I'm just messing
Flacco
with
is tall.
DJ.
64. I call the attention to the number 64 in front of number 9. That's Ted Karras. You know who he is? He's
Alex
the
Karras?
Starting center.
Oh, yeah. He's playing.
Of the Cincinnati Bengals.
Man.
Now, which foot is it?
Doesn't matter.
That's both no, great. Matters, Mike.
Well, the
of course it matters. Which foot was
the
it?
Pylon's
with the
blocking.
Toe. That's what I'm saying. Is it if it's the left foot, maybe he's doing this on purpose to block from the pylon.
Oh, he's trying to trick us.
Or is it the right one?
It's the right one. He's good.
All I'm saying is he's standing pretty nice. I mean, he's good. He's got
left
the sweats
foot.
On.
Left toe.
Is it left
toe.
Foot?
Left toe. Oh, he's doing it. See?
That's cagey. He's a veteran.
Left toe.
We're hiding it. He's hiding it with the pylons blocking it.
Yeah. We need pylon cam right
but
now.
But of all the people to him to be behind, the starting one. He's starting.
He's playing.
I don't like it.
As a Patriot fan,
it's like, oh, I'm not happy.
I don't like it.
You don't like it one bit?
I don't like it one bit.
Nope.
I got a lot of problems with you people.
I was already counting my wins.
You're on to Cincinnati.
Joe Burrow. TJ? I want to poll every member of RES Consulting.
Yeah.
Is he starting?
Survey says yes.
I think so.
All right, hold on. There's a bunch of these photos. Hold on.
Oh, you
I'm
got
looking
more.
At some other ones.
There's some other ones.
Better.
What do you have?
Generally, the same viewpoint as we just saw.
We need the left.
He's throwing a pass. He's fading back. I mean,
I'd feel better if we had some video to actually
video. Oh, here's some video of him walking.
Can we see the picture one more time, please? And if we get the picture one more time,
he's
that would be right there.
Growing his hair out.
You know, if we hear this noise. They're going to pay the landscaper.
Yeah.
Because it looks like we haven't watered that grass in quite some time. Is that grass? What is it?
Crabgrass?
Is that clay? They're working out like Rafa on the clay?
You know, it's almost winter in Cincinnati.
I get it. But are those clumps of like green grass shoots?
All right, 12 minutes ago.
What's going on? What is that out there?
Ben Baby covers the Bengals for
Ben
ESPN.
What Joe does Ben say, baby?
Joe Burrow is taking QB1 reps during individual drills as well.
It's over.
He's back.
I don't like it.
My eyes see one thing. Ben Baby's eyes see another. I get to say the words Ben Baby on television and radio together, and it's for real.
You know, this week you've said Janky Rondo, Daddy Yankee, and Ben Baby.
Ben Baby.
You are on a roll.
Yeah, baby.
You know what I mean?
Ben Baby.
Yes, Alina.
Here we go. The only thing to be better is that if his name was Trevor, we could use that drop.
Ooh. You know?
What?
Mike Petraglia? What? Let's see.
No, that's whose photograph we're using.
Oh, great. He said, Burrow looking quite agile.
Oh, he's agile.
That's 5 minutes ago.
Yeah. We're not down. The sun is up.
That's right. The grass is brown. And Joe is back. What's up, Trevor?
Mike Brown's not paying the water, the grass?
He's not. Clearly, what's going on?
What are we doing?
What's up, Trevor?
Is that the name of the groundskeeper?
It's Trevor. Yeah, Trevor the groundskeeper.
Oh, Trevor needs to get some more sod out there. That's a very expensive foot trying to come back with a toe. Here we go. Oh, baby. Christopher Brockman.
Get a little worried.
Just in time for the Patriots to show up. Oh, but, of course, no Jamar Chase.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
Andre Ishivas a week.
Yoshivas
week.
And Higgins.
Coming
doesn't
up.
Have the same ring to it.
No.
Sort of like Marble and Ganache. Doesn't have the same ring as Tango and Cash. Marble and Ganache. Doesn't have the same ring. You know what I mean?
It's the sequel.
That's what it is. That's pretty okay. I'm going to get off that one. Otherwise, it's tough to stop. Okay, you ready? It's a Thursday. It's our time for our staple on a Thursday. It's to take a look at the schedule and come up with a higher register belief to call our shot about what's going to happen in week number 12 of the National Football League. Hit it.
There's a chance.
The Rich Eisen shows
that there could be
higher register take of the week.
All right, Christopher.
Man, now NFL Live is showing video,
video
of Joe throwing.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
geez,
yeah,
what
yeah,
the
yeah. We were on
oh
it.
God,
right? We were on it when we just had the still photos at Rich Eisen
Jeez.
Consulting. Joe Burrow doesn't. By the way, I don't know if this does involve anybody have a Joe Burrow high register.
No.
So I can give you one for free.
No.
I would have had I known.
Kind of looks like he's playing.
Bonus.
Kind of looks like Joe Burrow's going to do this, guys.
Bonus.
Just the way he's winging around and moving around.
He is really flinging this thing.
And I'll just say, I'll just also go higher register as well. Looks like the grass could be replaced there. In Cincinnati.
I cut lawns. It looks all right. It just needs a little water.
What does that mean?
What? I cut lawns when I was a kid.
I cut lawns.
When I was a little kid.
Has been claimed.
It was a little.
Let me ask you a question, and then we'll get to the rest of the higher register.
I'm sorry.
This is great.
I shouldn't have changed.
Have you cut a lawn in your life?
You want to know something?
What?
I've never.
What? Oh! I literally did mine yesterday.
Hold on a second.
You never know.
I would have thought you cut a lawn.
You would have thought so, right?
I would have thought.
Oh, man.
Because we, when I had a huge yard, it was when I was little, so I was too little to cut the grass. And then we moved and we had a gravel in the backyard, so there was only little spots of grass.
I got it.
So it didn't really need to be cut.
Understood.
Did my front yard yesterday.
See, Brock's cut now.
Look at you. I haven't done it.
Got an electric motor. It's great.
Yeah, I mean,
so
at a company,
Mike, I cut lawns. Del Tufo says the practice field on which
he loves when I throw stuff out like that.
$1 billion repair toe is working out on.
Correctly, I cut lawns with my brother. We had a company. We actually did it.
Good to know.
To get paid.
All right.
If you're in the Harrisburg area, my cousin Josh, he's a landscaper.
For the love of God, give me your higher register, Chris. For the love of God.
I hate this team.
These things remain self-evident. You don't want a piece of Daniel Jones after the bye week. History will show. I don't know. Here's the deal, guys. I'm a little worried about your Super Bowl pick, Rich. And if the Chiefs lose this week, I think the grave's at 4 feet and the casket's half built. You know what I mean?
What do you mean? What do you mean?
He's saying that they're about to play tax.
Don't go all like folksy on me. Don't go folksy on me. What does that mean? The grave is at 4 feet deep and the casket's half built.
The season's almost over.
That's what I wanted to hear.
Well, that's what you got.
I needed the plain English. I didn't need the Jabberjaw senator from Louisiana's version of it. I needed to hear you actually say the words.
Say it with your chest.
So you really think that, huh?
You know, I think it's looking that way.
Yeah,
I'm with you.
Kurt said there's not one thing they do well earlier this week.
I'm with you.
Okay.
Chiefs aggregators, it's fine when Kurt says it. When I said it, it's the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, one guy's in the Hall of Fame and won an MVP and a Super Bowl.
Pretty good progress.
And the information
just
can still be the same
yesterday. Yeah, exactly. A little bit difference.
Information's
the
same.
Toss department.
Were you just 6'7" of them?
I just 6'7".
Hey. 6'7", bro.
Hey.
My kids cannot stand when I do that.
Oh my God.
At all. They want to disown me
Dad,
on the spot.
6'7".
All right.
It's something that should bring everyone together, I think.
I kind of like it.
I think 6'7" is great.
TJ?
Hey, listen, man. There is a huge, maybe the biggest game of the year coming up on Sunday.
I know.
Here Two division going. Rivals. You know,
it
the
is
Philadelphia
big.
Eagles
Varsity.
And the Dallas Cowboys.
It is big.
Let's go.
Varsity's playing. You Come know, on. By the way, Dak Prescott does have a record of 9-5 against the Eagles in his career. I want to point that out. And, you know, the Eagles got a lot of turmoil, Rich. Like, there's a lot of chaos going on.
Drama.
Drama. Like TNT, they love drama. And the Cowboys, you know, we got a pass rusher. We're good. So I'm thinking, after the Cowboys take down the Eagles
nice.
On Sunday, right, I think they're definitely making the playoffs.
Yeah.
Making the playoffs.
Let's go.
The table, make the playoffs.
Walk me through it at 5-5-1.
And then we go to 6-5-1.
Against the Kansas City Chiefs on Thanksgiving.
Sure, you're right. And then we go 7-5-1.
And then that would be against the Detroit Lions a week after Thanksgiving in Detroit.
And then we go 8-5-1.
Yep. Home for Minnesota on a Sunday night. Let's keep going. Then we
go 9-5-1.
Against the Chargers.
Oh, yeah.
And then, come on. The Washington football team and the little Giants? Nah, that's a 10-5-1.
And 11-5-1.
And 11-5-1.
So they don't lose the rest of the
year. TJ.
Hold on a minute. Wait for
come
it.
Come on.
Hold on. They lose the rest of the year?
Yeah, somebody said they win the table.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Let's go.
Look who's all grown up.
Oh, wow.
On higher register.
Cowboys 7-1 to make the playoffs.
The Barry White sounding T.J. Jefferson, who didn't like doing this segment, you have all grown up,
I'm in.
Man.
No, T.J., I'm in.
You're
I'm
grown up and you're grown up.
Let's do it.
Hey, all right. Yo.
Listen. All these folks out there that think J.J. McCarthy is less than.
Uh-oh.
It upsets me when I see that it upsets me when they are saying that J.J. McCarthy had nothing. Michigan won the national championship in spite of him. He had nothing to do with it, blah, blah, blah. It's a bunch of crap.
And
it upsets me greatly. It upsets me greatly. It triggers me. I get triggered.
I've seen
triggered.
It. Yeah.
You have seen it.
I've seen you break a glass.
I don't like it. It's not true. It's absurd. Just look at the tape. Look at his history. Now, this year, when he has started, if you look at all the quarters that he has played, this does look like he doesn't look like the kid from Michigan in the aggregate. But there are times when I see it.
You do?
I do. I see the throws. And by the way, does he sound like a Harbaugh coached quarterback when he's talking about, you know, I feel like I'm about to be uncorked, the wine bottle. Like, it sounds like he's talking like Jim, right?
Okay.
And the times when he has performed well, believe it or not, come on the road in division. And guess where he is this week?
On the road?
Green Bay.
On the road again?
In division. So my high register is, ladies and gentlemen, J.J. McCarthy's going to go 3 on the road in the division.
Oh.
Yeah, say what you will about him.
Okay.
Say what you will. Cement drying. You know, they were singing 9 to 5 because they're making fun of him that he's 9. Then he turned into 5 or whatever that means. I don't know.
Well, listen,
if you're gonna slag on this kid by slagging on Dolly Parton, you're against America.
That's true.
No, all walks of America.
We will have no
There's
Dolly
no
slander.
Dolly slander here.
J.J. McCarthy's gonna go 3 on road in division.
3-0.
He can't do any better on the road in division in a year. You only got 3 road division games.
I mean, that's true.
But I'm just gonna say, he's gonna do it. That's higher register for week 12. I'm very excited about that segment, but not as excited about welcoming in our next guest, who is our first ever in-studio guest. I will watch anything this man does, and you should as well. Pluribus on Apple TV is stuff like you've never seen before. Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul, creator, director, producer, Vince Gilligan, when we come back. As many of you know, supporting pediatric cancer research is something I care deeply about. That's why I'm proud to share what Hyundai's doing through Hyundai Hope on Wheels. For over 27 years, with every Hyundai sold, they've helped fund pediatric cancer research. Alongside over 850 dealers, they've raised more than $277 million, helping over 25,000 kids and supporting more than 1,400 research grants at 175 institutions nationwide. This year alone, they've committed another $27 million in honor of the 27th anniversary of the program. And they're proud to have national youth ambassadors like Jackson Trin and Emmy Cole, who bring hope to kids across the country by sharing their stories. Because at Hyundai, hope is our greatest feature, and it comes standard. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the Thumbtack app. Download today.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
And we're back on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. We just saw a clip from the pilot episode of Pluribus on Apple TV. The creator, the writer, the director, the 4-time Emmy Award winner, Vince Gilligan, is back here on the show to talk about it. It is great to see you, man.
Great seeing you, Rich. It's just 11 years, huh? Is that how long it's been?
It was 11 years ago last month that you left the writer's room of your latest show, Better Call Saul, right, to join us.
Wow.
To talk about Breaking Bad ended,
yeah,
and with a plan for Better Call Saul. And now here we are talking about your latest in Pluribus. I guess the ultimate first question is, like, where the hell did this idea come from?
Always the question. And I never have a great answer. I don't know where the hell these ideas come from. Any of them. You just sort of like the way the folks on Pluribus, they receive, signals from each other, telepathically. You got to be kind of a radio head yourself as a as a writer, you got to be receptive to ideas, I guess. And then sometimes I think it's kind of like working a jigsaw puzzle in your mind, and you're kind of, you know, putting this piece together, that piece together. Well, this doesn't fit. Well, that doesn't fit together. And then, but if you do it long enough, you know, eventually the ideas start to, the image starts to form, and I don't know where the heck it came from. But
well, again, the idea for our radio audience that just returned as well is that there is essentially a code for an RNA virus, would you say? Or
yeah, it's a message from space, yes, from 600 light years away, from aliens that we know nothing about. We may well never meet. But it is a message in a bottle sent out into the universe to spread this happiness, this form of happiness and contentment and satisfaction, and it takes hold in the world, and suddenly everybody is very chill.
Except for 11 people, including the protagonist.
Exactly.
Who is a miserable person, right? Or at least miserable in terms of disposition, would you say?
She's unhappy. Yeah, she is.
Played by Ray Seahorn.
The wonderful Ray Seahorn. She plays a character named Carol Sturka. And Carol is a romantic-y author. She is pretty romantic-y. Successful.
Yes.
But she's like a glass half empty type person. She's always looking for reasons to explain her misery or her just general unhappiness. And she's very sarcastic. I kind of root for her. I have heard a lot in doing interviews and whatnot. Why is she so unhappy? And like, well, why is anybody unhappy? Versus why is anybody happy? Sometimes I just think maybe it's just chemicals in our brains, and then we look for reasons to explain it.
Well, again, you know, just to continue this conversation about characters and character development and just the general gist of a lot of the shows that you've put together, Vince, is about how do people react to life-altering events, whether it's cancer for Walter White, yeah, or obviously Saul Goodman and what happened, you know, in the backstory that you tell about Better Call Saul, about his childhood, about his relationship with his brother,
right,
about what happens if you are somebody on the planet who is a glass half empty person.
Yeah.
And then an event occurs where your wife is dead,
yeah,
because she's one of the humans that cannot receive biologically well this new way of living as, yeah, a hive.
Right.
And then the idea that, yes, the people who are, would you say, afflicted by what comes in, or affected?
Afflicted. I think they both work. You know what I really kind of hope for with this show is that people tell me whether this is a good thing or not. I always say, when you watch The Walking Dead or The Last of Us, two really good shows, but
yes,
you watch those shows and you know you don't want to be a zombie. You know you don't want to be affected with this mushroom infection on The Last of Us. But on this show, I'd love for people to argue, the fans to argue. You know, she's fighting something she shouldn't fight on one side, or other people saying, no, are you crazy? She's 100% right. The individuality, human individuality, is at stake.
So I'm on that side,
yeah,
for the first,
yeah,
three episodes.
Sure, sure.
Where she is fighting for free will,
yeah,
Vince.
Yes, absolutely.
She's fighting for, like, yeah, like, would we like to have a planet where there's no crime?
Yeah.
Where they're, in episode three, turning off lights,
yeah,
because they don't have to worry about crime after dark,
right,
or people aren't living where they were living because they're now, I guess we're going to see over the next few weeks, how do people live collectively in this hive? How do they come out of nowhere to reconstitute an entire supermarket,
yeah,
that's been stripped bare of all items, but, yeah, they put it back in because, yeah, Ray's character asks for it. And then she begins to realize the power that she does as an individual have against the collective,
yeah,
because she can now ask of them what she wants,
yeah,
even if it is dangerous. Like, that's where we're at right now. I am curious to see where this all goes.
I'm so glad, man. Boy, you've watched this thing closely. God bless you.
Well, yeah. I watch everything you do, Vince.
Well, I appreciate it, man. Thank you. Yeah,
it's, and I have my own free will. I can, yes, watch whatever I want.
That's true. You do.
You know. But it is part and parcel again of what you do. Like, you're putting people in situations. How will you react? How will you react if you're Walter White and you're, yeah, given a terminal, you know, diagnosis?
Yeah.
But do you start making blue meth or you don't?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, with that opportunity.
Right.
If you're Saul Goodman, do you start doing what you did and or do you not?
Right.
And I think we're seeing with what her character is going to be going through right now here.
Absolutely,
as well, right?
True. And I got to tell you, working with Ray is such a dream. I wrote this part. I don't know where the heck the idea came from, but I know when I started cooking it up, I thought.
By the way, great phrase.
Cooking, yes. No pun intended.
No, okay. Got it.
I thought, man, I gotta create something. Ray Sehorn was on our last show, Better Call Saul.
Yes, sir.
She was fantastic in it. It started off, it was a character we didn't know, Peter Gould and I. Peter co-created the show. We didn't know if her character was going to amount to anything. And then we wind up loving the actor so much, Ray, who plays the character, that she becomes, the show kind of becomes a two-hander. That was never the intention from day one. She made herself indispensable. And I said to myself, I got to put Ray in, I got to create something for her because I don't want her, you know, disappearing on me. Because smart people are going to snap her up, put her in something else.
So you did create this character with her in mind when you're writing Pluribus.
When I started noodling on this thing, it was a male protagonist because I'm a guy. That's usually the way I think, male protagonist. And then I thought, why does it have to be a guy? Why can't it be a woman? Why can't it be Ray? So that's kind of how that came together.
All right. And a few other questions on this one as well is, do you know, again, it's been picked up for season two.
Yeah.
Do you know how this ends already?
No.
Where this goes, how it goes?
You know, we have, my writers and I, we have some ideas about where it might go, and probably at this point we have more ideas than we did for Breaking Bad or for Better Call Saul.
No kidding.
Yeah, we do. But the caveat is always you got to be ready to discard a perfectly good idea for a better idea. So if something better comes along, we'll go a different way. But we've got some ideas of where we think we want to go with it.
I mean, it's set in Albuquerque. Which is where obviously Better Call Saul and when Breaking Bad were. Is there any possibility that we run into any survivors of those shows in Pluribus? Where they're part of the hive that you just was a little winking and nod.
That's a good question. We might have some cameos. I don't know if it's a little. We might have a few Easter eggs to throw your way, I actually was resistant about setting it in Albuquerque. Sure. I was not at all resistant about shooting in Albuquerque. The reason we're shooting there on this show is I love my crew so much. I've been working with some of these folks for 20 years. And at the end of the day, I thought, these people are like family. I love them. They'd crawl over broken glass for Ray. Everybody on our crew loves her. So let's shoot it in Albuquerque. But I kind of resisted because I thought it would confuse people.
No doubt. Yeah, you want it to be known as, hey, this is something completely different. It's something separate.
Yeah.
But that said, I mean, you do have a fan base that is used to Easter eggs, that is used to what you're doing.
Yeah.
And so when I heard it was set in Albuquerque, I'm like, okay. But then when I heard it was about, I'm like, well, that's definitely not anything like this. And it's interesting that you would say that you have more ideas for this now, Vince Gilligan here on The Rich Eisen Show, for this Pluribus show than you did at this point for Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul, because those shows had vast numbers of characters who you would follow their pursuits and their storylines and how they would intertwine and how that would blow the minds of some of your viewers, you know. This is just such a monolithic single character that...
Right.
I would think you'd be more boxed in as a creator.
You know, something's always boxing you in. When Peter and I were doing Better Call Saul, we thought, oh, this is going to be the easiest thing we've ever done because we know where he winds up. And then we got into it. Ignorance was bliss because then we get into it and we said, oh, my God, how do we get him from where he is now to where he ends up? And also the audience knows he can't die during the show because they know he has to survive to Breaking Bad, because Better Call Saul is a prelude to Breaking Bad. So there's always some reason that makes it hard. It's never easy.
Right. But you have essentially mapped out just enough into season two where you think this can go. And obviously as creators, you can go in any other direction in which you wish.
Yeah.
Where at some point she will either be part of the hive or she will begin to battle back and win the battle, or the battle will occur, and that's enough of am I going through the beats here?
Man, we should get you in the writer's room. Hey, you got this thing figured out. Yeah.
No, I'm happy with the remote. I'm sitting on my couch and seeing what you're cooking up, to use that phrase. I have Vince Gilligan here on the Rich Eisen Show. Pluribus, again, is Fridays. Every new episode on Apple TV, episodes 1 through 3 are available right now. I have a list of characters from your previous universe, sir, that I want to have some fun with right now. Because you're always up for having fun, and you know what a how we fanboy out on you here about Breaking Bad from the universe, where they are today, you think?
All right.
Just to say, for instance, we had John Hamm here. I asked him where Don Draper is today, and he said three words: 6 feet under.
Oh.
He goes, there's no way that guy at age 80 was getting anywhere near to age 80 the way that he lived.
Wow.
When he was sitting here.
He had a good time getting there, though.
He certainly did.
Man.
All right, so I've got 6 characters for you. You tell me where you think they are right now, even though we've seen them already have some of their characters, the storylines already tied up neatly by you and in previous. Kim Wexler, let's start, obviously, with Kim.
Yeah.
Played by Ray Seahorn in Better Call Saul. Last we saw her, she visited Jimmy McGill, Saul Goodman, in prison, and she was living in Florida working at a sprinkler company. Is that where she still is
right
now?
That's exactly right.
Has that changed at all?
I would like to believe. Okay, if I could choose whatever I want for her.
Please.
I think after she reunited with Jimmy, such as she did at the end of the show, in my mind's eye, she got back into she got into public defending down in Florida. And she probably doesn't make a lot of money. She probably left the sprinkler factory. She probably doesn't make a lot of money. She probably dumped the good-natured doofus that we see her dating.
Yes.
And, so she's not going to Outback Steakhouse quite as often. But she's probably doing a lot of public defender work.
So she's doing
advocacy.
Good work, is what
you're
saying.
I think so.
But at the same time, she's got to miss the action, though, right? No?
You know what? I'm hoping she had enough action, and she, and doing good is more appealing to her now.
Okay.
That's my take on
that's
it.
That's a nice ending.
Okay,
we appreciate that.
Yeah.
All right, next up, Huel Bambino.
Huel Bambino is still sitting on the couch, waiting for someone to come. Occasionally, Grubhub or Uber Eats comes by.
Courtesy
of the DEA, but I think he's still kind of, looking at his watch. And now I hope Huel finally, looked outside and realized nobody was guarding him anymore, and then he just went on with his life.
Because again, Hank and Gomez said, "Wait here." Then they went out into the desert.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, never returned. Yeah, and then we all wondered what happens to Huel. Yeah. We asked you this question on our podcast version of this show that predates the 11 years that we've been hanging out on this set together as you being a guest. You said Huel's a state of mind is what you told us on that podcast. But did you drop a line in Better Call Saul to say that he went back to New Orleans, that the DEA let him walk, or that's just all AI Google nonsense?
Oh, man,
did you drop a line?
Cut. This is embarrassing. I'm not sure.
Don't be embarrassed. You're already moved on to the next thing. But so you think
he's out living his life. I think he was a bit of a rogue, a bit of a criminal.
Okay.
He was a really good pickpocket. But he hopefully he's I don't know. I don't know what he's doing now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Next one, Jimmy McGill. He took 86 years instead of the smaller sentence, obviously.
Yeah.
He in prison. But What do you think?
I think Trump pardoned him. That's what I think. I think he's out. That's what I think.
Yeah. Trump pardoned Saul Goodman.
Yes.
Outstanding.
Kind of tracks, doesn't it?
So he's out?
I think he's a free man. I think he's doing infomercials, I think is what he's doing. He's selling stuff on late night TV.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Love it. Great answer. I got a few more for you here, Vince Gilligan. Where is Skyler and Walt Jr. right now? Where are the Whites? Right now, where is
I hope they're not where we last saw them. They're living in a pretty kind of sad looking dire
straits. Trying to untangle Walt's mess, right?
Yeah.
And
I think, Walt Jr. at this point would be, I know the wonderful actor RJ Mitty is in his 30s now. I can't even believe that. When I met him, I think he was 14.
Wow.
Maybe he was 13.
Mm-hmm.
Can't even believe that. But I think they got their life back together. Hopefully, Skyler, she was very independent and a self-starter, but hopefully also she found someone else, to as a life partner, somebody healthier, better for her than, emotionally healthy for her than Walt was. And Walt Jr. Is probably writing a book about his infamous dad. I would, you know, or maybe it's, as a podcast.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I like it.
Hour talk.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I like it. I like, and again, you know, your shows are about what would you do if you were in this position? And Skylar White's character, where she, to use the phrase from Goodfellas, you know, you weren't just a, you know, babe, cut the babe in the woods routine. You know what I mean? When they, when they got, you know, Henry Hill's wife,
right,
you know, on the hook, you know, when the authorities are talking to her, she wasn't completely innocent, but her soul was, I kind of felt, you know what I mean?
I think so too. I think Skylar gets a bad rap from, you know, listen, thanks to the fans. That's the why I'm here with you today.
Sure.
God bless you. But a lot of fans were kind of down on Skylar, and I never quite understood it because she was, as she says in one episode, my job is to protect this family from the man who protects this family. And she was in this terrible, she boxed into this intractable situation, and she finally did roll over and become a bit of a partner in crime to Walt. But I don't think she did that out of any kind of greed or desire for money. She's just trying to keep the family intact. And she was scared of the, you know, what would happen if suddenly the public, if the law enforcement knew what it, you know, what her husband was up to. I feel like she got a raw deal.
I feel like what she was doing is kind of the phrase you hear during March Madness college basketball tournament time. She was trying to survive in advance. Every day, you know what I mean? She was just trying to get to the next day, not knowing what the hell her husband was up to or doing, suspecting it, but never got a straight answer. Okay, and then the two main protagonists here. Jesse Pinkman, we last saw him driving off into the Alaskan wilderness in El Camino.
Yeah.
What's he doing in the Alaskan?
I hope he's happy. I hope he's living in Alaska. I wonder what he'd be doing. I think he's got some money. I'd like to think he had a little bit of money squirreled away so he doesn't have to, you know, take whatever, you know, any job that he could get. Hopefully he's met somebody good. He's trying to put it behind him. Yeah, what would you do up in Alaska? He talked about being a bush pilot at some point in early Breaking Bad.
Okay.
So maybe he got his pilot's license. Maybe he's flying a De Havilland Beaver around, taking, you know, rich guys up to, like, hunting camps or something.
They hop on his plane, and he makes vacations happier.
Here's hoping. I hope wherever he is, he's happy. Because he, talk about a guy who, I mean, he was a criminal when we met him, but he had a good heart. I think he always did. And Walt took him for a ride.
No, he sure did. And then the last one for you, Walter White. We know he's 6 feet under, right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
okay. Okay.
I think so.
But there was a rumor, the large rumor. I'm sure you've heard it before, and I've not asked you about it. Is that in the final episode, he's in a car in New Hampshire. And it looks like he's stuck in it. And there are some people who think he died in that car. And the rest of the episode is a dream sequence.
The rest of it was like occurrence at Owl Creek Bridge, the rest of it. Like the whole thing was,
All of it.
That'd be kind of a bummer, wouldn't it? That only worked once, by the way. When Ambrose Bierce wrote Occurrence at Owl Creek Bridge, you get away with that once. Every time it's been done since, the audience at the end feels like they got ripped off. Like, what? It was all a dream. It's like, you know.
Right.
So that would be a bummer, I think, if that were the case.
So, but that was not the way in which you wrote it
and
intended it put it out there for everyone to see.
No. I think he died on the floor of that Nazi super lab, having had bloody handprint on the cook tank. I think what you saw is what you got. But you know what? Again, audience, you make him to the world, and you hope that people like him. And once they're out in the world, it belongs to the world. It doesn't belong to me anymore.
Well, and then in that respect, just to come full circle, your which, if you will, side that viewers of Pluribus land on.
Yeah.
The free will, understand that the way we were born and the way we currently live on planet Earth is not perfect, but at least it's ours to choose.
Yeah.
And then there's another way of doing it, which is we're all connected as one.
Yeah.
There is no crime. We're all mostly happy is our default, and that's the better way to live.
Or maybe it's somewhere in the middle. Again, I want the audience to decide for themselves, but I like the idea of presenting a possibility of a happier world. I mean, we live in a pretty messed up world right now, and it's just people just at each other's throats all the time. And the weird thing is everybody's at each other's throats virtually with these, you know, with these social media and, you know, people screaming at each other in a way that they would not do face-to-face because they'd worry about getting smacked. And I just, if people could get face-to-face more, I think there'd be less anger.
And one just point-blank question for you about your intentions and what you're creating in this world. There are some people who think that you're, that this is an allegory, the way that this is one hive mentality, that things aren't really real, but it's all too real in the way that it's affecting the human race, that this is an allegory for artificial intelligence. Is
a lot of people have asked me that, and I like that interpretation of it. It's strictly speaking, I came up with this idea about almost 10 years ago, and this was prior to the advent of ChatGPT.
Okay.
So, you know, I just have to put that out there, but I hate AI. I hate, or what's called AI, because there's no intelligence to it. It's just a really clever algorithm that finishes sentences for us in a way that makes us realize, if you really think about it, we're pretty predictable. You know, our language is pretty predictable, you know, and all that kind of stuff. This is a better mousetrap in terms of predictive technology, but it is, you know, if it winds up getting truly smart, it certainly will change the world. And in the meantime, you know, it seems like it's putting people out of jobs, and it's, you know, has the potential to make kids knuckleheads, you know, because they let this thing do their homework for them instead of doing it themselves. And yeah, I'm not big on AI, but to be strictly, you know, accurate about it, I didn't have that axe to grind. If I had come up with this thing a couple of years later, yeah, I might have said, "Oh yeah, this is an allegory about AI."
Well, that's what I love about you, man. You're what you create is so deep. People can read into it what they will and ascribe it to you. And you have a humility about you where you're not like, "Oh, absolutely, I thought of that." Where you're able to sit back and go, "You know what? That's pretty cool. It's pretty cool that you think that about what I do." And I love you, man. Thanks for coming
in. Right back at you, Rich.
Vince Gilligan here on The Rich Eisen Show. Come back anytime. Obviously, as this series matriculates, I'll have more questions.
I'm looking forward to our 20th anniversary. I want to come back on the day, 9 years from now. We got to figure that out.
That's right. Fantastic. Everybody, check out Pluribus on Apple TV. The fourth episode hits Friday.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your motorcycle, RV, boat, ATV, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save at Progressive.com. Susie Schuster is here, everybody. Oh, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey. Hi, guys.
Susie's hanging with us.
What must it be like to have an imagination like that?
Not like that, right? I know.
Can I interrupt real quick? Yes. That is Professor Schuster.
That's right. That's right. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah. I am indeed. Professor, yes. Please refer to me as such.
No, but you're right. You and I, when we watch movies, TV shows like that, we're like, how do they think of this? You know what I mean? Like, how does he just sit there 10 years ago? You know what? I got an idea for a show. It's going to be something from outer space that puts an RNA code in. If he did this 10 years ago, it was pre-COVID.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And obviously, AI. Yep. Unbelievable. Unreal. And then
I'm going to think about this science teacher, and he's kind of angry.
That's right.
And then he's going to run into some junkie in a bus in the desert.
I mean, right.
How do you think of these
exactly.
things?
While he's wearing his underwear.
Where he's wearing his underwear.
I mean, like.
Right. So,
I'm still concerned about Ramondre. So I'm just like listening to your conversation from.
Yeah, Ramondre. He's
hour
back. He's
one.
Back.
Like, that's what I think about. Like, yeah, what about back. It? What is about he back? A fumble?
Is he back this week, though? Is he going to come back this week?
Seems like it's trending in that direction.
Him and Joe Burrow.
Which is great.
Oh, yeah.
Bengals, terrible run defense.
Oh, that game.
Let's go.
By the way, when Burrow went down in week three, right? No, week two. Week yeah. two. Burrow goes down week two.
Yeah, he hasn't played since September 14th.
All right, and I would tell you, he's not only going to come back, he's going to come back in week 12, and it's going to be against a 9-2 Patriots team.
I mean,
you'd have said what?
What? Excuse me, what now? What?
Yeah, like, is there a code from outer space?
Like what?
You know what I mean?
I mean, look, Bucky Irving has been practicing for like a month and still not playing. So, like, we need to all calm down on the joke.
Maybe he's from the pluribus world. Like, there's some kind of weird DNA strain that Joe Burrow has been.
He's letting his hair grow, too.
Yeah.
By the way, that's one thing I should have asked him. I was like, why do they call it pluribus? I guess we'll find out. But anyway, I just want to tell you about Hyundai Hope on Wheels before we head out of Dodge here. For over 27 years, every Hyundai sold has helped fund life-saving pediatric cancer research. Together with over 850 dealers nationwide, they've raised more than $277 million, supporting over 25,000 kids in their fight against cancer. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more. At Hyundai, hope isn't optional. It comes standard. I also just got an email from our friends at St. Jude, Suze.
What'd they say?
I got a shot of a screen grab. I screen grab a screen. They received their check from Celebrity Wheel of Fortune of $88,000 in change.
Oh, nice. Whoa. Nice. Look at you.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money. For second place finish.
He won first. That. Excuse me. You haven't watched it back on Hulu yet.
We haven't watched it at all.
I haven't watched it either.
I haven't.
See, I'm the only one that cares, Rich.
So, you know, I want to thank my friends Ryan and Vanna. You know?
Oh, I was thinking Family Feud.
No, yeah,
that's
second place.
Because I'm from New England, so I'm always going dark.
Can't keep with all the game shows around here. All right, that wraps it up for this show. We will see you on Friday. Hey, stop it.
Fantastic.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to the Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney Plus, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.